We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Good morning, USA! Charlemagne the God.
Peace to the planet, it's Friday!
Yes, it's Friday. The weekend is here.
We are here. What's happening, man?
What's going on?
I feel good. It's going to be a good weekend.
It is.
I'm going to see MJ the Musical. I'm finally getting the opportunity to go see MJ the Musical on Broadway this weekend.
Oh, that's dope. I didn't get a chance to see it. I got tickets for my mom and dad for Christmas. They love plays, so I haven't had a chance to go see it as of yet. I'm going to be all over this weekend. You know, I'm a dance dad, and my two daughters dance, and it's competition dad dance, and we going on a road trip, so they're going to be performing, and I appreciate that. And then Sunday, my son runs track, so he's going to be running for Nationals this Sunday. So
I got one of those this weekend. My daughter got cheerleading competition this weekend as well. I got that this weekend.
Yeah, so.
And the WGA Awards are Sunday. And my late night talk show, Hell of a Week, is nominated for Best Writing Variety Talk Series. So, busy weekend, man.
You going?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
So the show's in the city?
You know it.
Okay.
If you hear me say I'm going, you know it must be local.
Somewhere close.
Absolutely. It's okay. In New York.
Well, good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, whatever God got planned.
All right. Now, this morning, we are talking a little bit of butts this morning.
When are we not talking butts?
It's Colon Cancer Awareness Day.
And First of all, I don't like how you said that. You should have said we're talking colons. All right? All right? The butt ain't got nothing to do with it. The butt does have everything to do with it. But we're talking colons.
Yes.
Okay?
In the butt. That's right. So we're going to have Dr. Liz and Dr. Cynthia Kwenu joining us this morning. Like I said, it's Colon Cancer Awareness Day. And yep. Charlamagne and I have been talking to you guys out there about making sure you go check yourself out. They said the age is 45, but if you have any past history or anything that's, and they'll break it down, you know, the symptoms, you should definitely get checked a lot earlier, just in case, because if there is an issue, a problem, a situation, if it's caught early, it can save your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's The age used to be 50.
Right.
Then they dropped it to 45. A lot of doctors say they should drop it to 35. You know what I mean? Because so many young people are getting colon cancer. But like you said, it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month, and we'll be talking to the doctors this morning about it.
Yeah, because if you even think about it, Chadwick Boseman was the age. What age? He was 43 when he passed.
43, I think.
Right, yeah. 43, I believe. No, he's
44? 43.
No, I think he was 40. He would be 43 now, so it was 2 years ago. So he would have been 41.
Wow.
When he passed. So just definitely, we're going to be talking about it all day long. And Don Toliver will be joining us. He has an album, yes. Lovesick. And we're going to be chopping it up with him in a little bit as well.
That's right.
All right.
And we got front page news coming up next with Miss Angela Rye.
Yeah, Angela Rye is going to be checking in. And the reason is because me and Charlamagne sound stupid sometimes.
We don't sound stupid. We just don't know what we be talking about.
It's the same thing. All right, we'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
All right.
That was new Nicki Minaj.
Let me tell you something, man. I promise you, don't let it make you feel old. Don't let it make you feel older when you hear artists sampling records you used to turn up to.
Yes.
Because think about it. When we was young in the 1900s and like Diddy them was sampling older records, we wasn't outside when those original records they were sampling were in rotation.
Correct.
But we was outside when Lumi D was cooking.
Yeah, that was Lumi D.
My Lord have mercy.
All right. Well, let's get in some front page news. We have Angela Rye here. What's up, Miss Rye?
Good morning, Eddie Rye, daughter.
Good morning. Happy Friday, you all. Envy mentioned just a moment ago that March is, well, you actually said today is Colon Cancer Awareness Day, and March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And what we need to be aware of is that colorectal cancer rates are rising among people under 50. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 5 new cases of colon and rectal cancers are people in their early 50s. Since 2004, death rates for people under 50 due to colorectal cancer has consistently climbed by 1% annually. In 2019, 60% of all new colorectal cases among all ages were advanced. They were advanced, and I think that's major. So it's so good that you all have guests on today talking about that to flag. As Envy said, of course, Chadwick Boseman died in 2020 at the age of 43 because of colon cancer. And then more recently, Broadway actor Quentin Oliver Lee died just last year at 34 after a stage 4 colon cancer diagnosis.
And both of us have been screened. Me and DJ Envy have been screened. We got screened over the holiday. I got screened in December. You got screened in
January.
January. Mm-hmm. So yes,
yeah, I got screened last year. My grandfather had colon cancer.
Wow. Mm. I didn't know you got screened last year.
Yes, indeed.
What was the toughest part? The prep, right?
I think mentally.
What do you mean?
Just mentally. I just, you know.
What?
I don't want anything going in my behind. Nothing.
See? So it's not just a guy thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a stigma that people think is only regulated to guys, but Angela Rye felt the same way.
Right.
I did. And now we can move on from asses. So, it's Women's History Month, and there's some good news you can use. State Representative Joanna McClinton was sworn in this week as the first female and second Black Speaker of the Pennsylvania House. She's just 40 years old, which to me, a 43 is young these days. She's repping West Philadelphia and now leads the oldest and largest full-time state legislature in the country. She's got big shoes to fill, and you guys know better than anyone, you can count on a Black woman to get it done.
West Philadelphia, born and raised. Salute.
I don't know if she's born and raised there, but that's who she's repping. I wanted to say that too so bad.
You got to. When you're Black, you have to. You have to.
So congratulations, Madam Speaker, because we shout out women on this show, don't we?
That's right. It's Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's Women's History Month. So, on a bad news note, and Leonard, I feel bad because I feel like I should have gave this to you for your donkey, because a state legislature that's trying to, its damnedest to get it wrong is Tennessee, and Arrested Development tried to warn us. Young people need to look their record up. Republican Representative Dennis Powers introduced House Bill 1245 that would allow folks on death row to choose to die by firing squad. Not to be outdone, Republican Representative Paul Sherrill, in supporting the bill, said this. I hope we have the sound ready.
Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Representative Powers, for bringing this. I think it's a very good idea. And I was just wondering about, could I put an amendment on that? It would include hanging by a tree also. And also, I would like to sign on to your bill, sir. Thank you.
Damn. I would like him to sit down, sir. Really, you guys? Hanging by a tree? We just on the other side of Black History Month. I know I got to keep saying that, but I got to keep reminding these white folks. So, Leonard, his ass definitely should have been your donkey, clearly.
He still can be. You know, in South Carolina, they tried to do something like that. They tried to have it, what was it, the firing squad, and I think it was the firing squad and electrocution, but it got shot down in a Richland County court back in December.
Exactly.
They said, yep, they said it was cruel, unusual.
Unusual punishment.
Yep.
As it should be. So there are our front page news stories for right now. You know, we have some more in the next hour.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. Was that? And call us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Age to be lowered to as low as 35, you know? Right. And if you have a history of it in your family, you know, you can your doctors will let you get it early. I mean, that's what I did, because I'll be 45 this year, but I got mine last year because I have a history of it in my family.
Hey, one more thing before Ethan hang up on me, because I know he'll do that. But I ain't into the politics like that, but I just heard y'all talk about somebody said something about hanging them on the tree or something like that.
Yeah, this Republican in Tennessee.
Yeah, some of these white folks crazy out here, man.
You from South Carolina. You already know.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Have a good one. Right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yo, Charlamagne, Envy, what up? Are we live?
This is your time to get it off your chest.
I got an indoor pool, an outdoor pool.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
We can get on the phone right now. He'll tell you what it is.
We live? Hello, who's this?
DJ Envy, Charlamagne the God. Good morning.
OG.
OG Rob is here.
What up, OG?
What's happening, brothers? How y'all feeling this morning, man?
Man, black, you black, feeling, and highly man? Favored. How are you, sir?
Feeling good. Just real quick, man. Since this is colonoscopy month and all that, man, okay. I got mine done the end of last year, brother. So, you know, that's very important, man.
That's absolutely what I like to hear, King. That's what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm
health
saying?
Is wealth, so health is wealth, man. Health is wealth. Mental health, yes, physical health, it's all wealth, baby.
Yes, sir. So that's what we doing. So on top of that, man, it's bar time, man. I got something for y'all, you know.
Let's go.
Check it out. I said, stay strapped for lyrical warfare. The underground prepared me with steps and what happens from here. Yeah. Let loose on a few counterfeits, penny pinches, nickel and dimers, small timers. Creeping through the hood real slow, this flow timeless. What you think this is? A couple of words just being put together with some halfway mumble schemes, folding under pressure? Whatever. That's not I. I'm not there. My spray shot circle your block and keep them boxed in. My campaign rolling. Marketing budget swollen, line for line. I'm bouncing and swerving like whip stolen just to pick it up where I left off. Flow hot sauce, show no remorse. Good for 5 mics in the sauce. Just call me throwback Petro. AB all yellow like the nickel bag from Marcy and Gates of Palmetto. Denying a few things like property and a few wits. Checking on some real estate tips for proper management. Packing like drum rounds with a hell of a kick. Just acknowledge it, OG.
Okay, OG. Well, you know, it's colonoscopy, what do we call it? Awareness Day. So I think it's only right. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Let's go.
I used to be scared of the doc. Now I throw lips to my doc. Handle it like a real G.
Whoa.
Had a hunter, Janet Jack me. Colonoscopy in the butt. Yeah, what?
What? Oh, man. Whoa.
You know, I think it is cancer awareness day, so I think it's only right.
I'll give y'all a bar. I got a bar.
Okay.
Hey, yo, I'm Diesel, swollen, in your butt, colon, beautiful and dark like Kelly Rowland. Oh. Come on now.
That's them butt balls. Boy, them butt balls on this Friday.
Balls. You know how we do it. Balls, man. Listen, man. I appreciate y'all. Y'all know what it is, man. Have a great weekend, man. You and your families, be safe, man. And as always, catch me, OG Rob 300, man. Peace, brother.
Peace, King.
All right, OG Rob.
All right, later, y'all.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up. All right, when we come back, we got to discuss Travis Scott a little more. The guy that he allegedly put his hands on, well, he's speaking about it. We'll get to it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What's happening? What's happening?
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Travis Scott.
Rumor has it. Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is the Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on the Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes.
Right.
On the Breakfast Club.
All right. Now, we all know, allegedly, Travis Scott assaulted a gentleman in a New York City nightclub, but now the gentleman is speaking out. Now he's speaking out from his hospital bed, and this is what the gentleman said.
I was trying to tell him to lower it so so it sounded good for the performance, but he just stuck his middle finger in my face, so I lowered the monitor a little bit so I could talk to him, and that's when he ran around the speaker and attacked me. Obviously my neck is up.
Your neck, your arm, what's happening with your arm?
Oh, my arm is tingling. I have pins and needles going down it.
Oh, man. Go.
You know where he going.
Hey, come on, man. You my neck with it. And my back. I slipped and I fell. I can't feel my legs.
You know where he's going with it.
Oh, my God. I'm hurt. Smokey, I'm hurt. I want $150,000, but we can settle right now for $20,000.
Yes. He did a conversation straight out of the hospital, straight in his bed. You know, his hospital bed, which is, hey. Do you, bro?
Hey,
do
man.
You.
Then I saw some. There was a video yesterday or something, right? I saw something.
Oh, the video. Nah, there's no video. There's no video of the actual assault.
And not the assault. I saw some video where Travis was somewhere with somebody and he pushed somebody away. I guess it was from the same venue.
Really? Yeah. No, he threw the phone. He smacked the guy's phone. That's what you seen.
Nah, I ain't see that.
Yeah, nah, he hit the guy's phone. It wasn't like crazy, but he hit the guy's phone.
Oh my God!
Now Marlon Wayans, he has a new comedy special out right now. It's called Slapgate, all right? And he has a couple of jokes. You want to hear one joke? Let's hear it.
It was called God Loves Me.
I look over and who is it? Chris Rock. And this was Chris Rock before the money Chris Rock. Like, he looked f***ed up. He had a jerry curl but didn't have enough money for all the grease. So it was like dry jerry curl, but he had a shag so the grease would drip onto his shoulders. And he was like three different color black. I don't know what this... And it wasn't an even black. It was different. It was iridescent. It looked like eggplant, black, you know, dull black. He looked like Charlemagne the God 3 years ago.
Oh, my God. My neck. My neck and my back. Oh, I'm hurt. I want $150,000, but we can settle out of court right now for $20,000, Marlon.
And it is called, what's the name of the special?
God Loves Me.
It's called God Loves Me.
Luther Marlon Wayans. I remember one time, this was years ago, this was about, oh man, this had to be like 11, 12 years. No, it was longer. This had to be like 14, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And me and Marlon Wayans was going back and forth on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Marlon said, I look like a bruised eggplant. Boy, you talking about, I think that might have been the first tweet that ever hurt my feelings.
That hurt the feelings.
A bruised, what the hell is a bruised egg? Think about what a bruised eggplant would look like.
That's wild. That's wild.
I can't wait to watch that this weekend. A lot of good comedy this weekend. Marlon Wayans, God Loves Me. Chris Rock this weekend too, right?
The live one?
The live one's not this weekend? I thought the live one was this weekend.
I think it is.
Did I make this up? Did I make that up?
It's today. It's today. Yeah, it's today.
No, tomorrow. Not today. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yep. Now, he also talks about, of course, the infamous slap some more.
I think she put a spell on that nigga. She had a Men in Black voodoo doll underneath her chair. Because that motherfucker, out of nowhere, he just changed his whole shit up. So we saw her roll her eyes up in her head, but that ain't what she did. She put a spell on him. She went. And the ghost of Tupac Shakur possessed Will Smith's body. And then he said, we're sorry.
Yeah, so you can definitely check that out.
God damn, man.
And lastly, I mean.
I'm talking about, though, I wonder how Will Smith feels. Because he's like, damn, I just had to slap somebody for talking crazy about my family. And y'all keep going in.
They keep going. It's not going to stop. It's never going to stop. Think about it. It was Eddie Murphy. Now it's Marlon. It's Chris Rock. It's not going to stop.
Well, like, did I not slap him hard enough? Should I have punched him? Should I have done more?
Should I have kicked him? You're like, wait, what should I have done?
Damn.
Jesus. And lastly, we got to talk Ricky Smiley. Now, we reported about a month ago. January 29th that his son had passed away. His son was a comedian as well, 32 years old. And yesterday he spoke about his son passing.
His girlfriend called. She said, text Brandon at this number or call him. So I called. Nobody answered. I called her back. I said, everything okay? She was crying. And she said that, in her words, she said that he had OD'd.
Had there been a history of drug use that you knew about?
Yeah, he was struggling with that. We had his mother and I made several attempts to send him to get the help that he needed, send him to rehab. And we thought that he was doing better. He had just joined the church. He had just got baptized again, probably a month before he passed away. And he went in, he used, and it killed him. But we haven't got a toxicology report yet. So this is just what we're speculating, according to his girlfriend who found him unresponsive.
Damn. Man, God bless that brother, Ricky Smiley, man. Mm-hmm. I don't wish that on nobody because, you know, as parents, all we doing is the best we can. But kids, you know, they get older, they make their own decisions, their own choices. And sometimes, you know, those choices lead to outcomes like this. And now the parents have to live with that, you know, for the rest of their lives. So it's just like, I don't wish that kind of trauma, that kind of pain, that kind of hurt on nobody.
No, absolutely. And again, like we always say, definitely sending him healing energy and condolences to his family, his, I think he said his wife or his girlfriend, his family, his kids. His,
the mother of his son?
Yeah, man. A lot. Well, whoa. And that is your rumor report. Now, when we come back, we got front page news. Angela Rye is here. Angela Rye, what are we talking about Andy in front Ryan page daughter. News?
Oh, you know, just a little Women's History Month and a little Joe Biden.
All right. Shout out to all the women up here, too. I see them running around.
Salute to all the women, man. Salute to all the women that, you know, work here at the Breakfast Club. We love and appreciate y'all during Women's History Month.
Yeah, Sydney Simsema Taylor.
That's right.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Front page news is next.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
With motivation, business, wellness, and the latest bestsellers, Audible is the home of storytelling. Check out all the audiobooks, podcasts, and originals you could ever want, all in one place. Sign up for 30 days free at audible.com/breakfastclub. What the hell he saying in this song? I've been listening to this song for years.
I don't know.
What is this? Who is this?
It's Chris Brown.
Oh, that's Chris Brown? What is Chris saying? Baby, you scared. Baby, you scared.
Colon cancer day.
And that's definitely not what he's saying.
All right, anyway, we are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's a Friday. Let's get in some front page.
And it would be bowling cancer for Chris Brown.
Definitely would be bowling cancer.
Bowling bachelor awareness.
What's up, Ms. Rye?
Hey, you guys. All right, happy Friday. So, again, we know it's Women's History Month, and I just want to shout out again Representative Joanna McClinton, who was sworn in this week in Pennsylvania, the largest and oldest full-time state legislature. She became the first woman and the second Black Speaker of the Pennsylvania House. She is repping West Philadelphia. We want to congratulate Madam Speaker and
drop
speaking
a bomb
of
for her.
What does a position like that mean, Angela Rye?
Well, she basically is the leader of the House of Representatives, which is the state legislature in Pennsylvania. She is responsible for leading on legislation, what they're going to push forward as an agenda. Mm-hmm. She went viral last year around a reproductive justice clip, and her star continues to rise. So she's got some big shoes to fill, but we know that Black women can do all things.
That's a fact.
So, on the other hand, that was good news in politics. There is some not so good news in politics on the national level. We went from, we did it, Joe, to don't do that, Joe. President Biden reversed course yesterday, frustrating progressives, the Congressional Black Caucus, where you all know I used to work, and a large swath of the Democratic Caucus by saying he will sign a GOP-led resolution overturning the Revised Criminal Code Act, which is a Washington, D.C. sentencing law that reduced penalties on a variety of criminal offenses. You all may be saying, what in the world does that mean? Let me just tell you, he initially said that he would veto this bill if it came to his desk. And we need to understand why it's a problem. And it is a major problem. The reason for that is a majority of D.C. voters supported the act. More than 83% of D.C. voters, according to a poll done by Hit Strategies and my good friend Terrence Woodbury. And to be honest, Congress shouldn't have input into D.C. laws to begin with. This is why it's so important for us to vote and make sure that things shift, because D.C. should have statehood. What does it mean that D.C. doesn't have statehood? D.C.'s own member of Congress, Eleanor Holmes Norton, could not even vote on this bill. She is what is called a delegate on the House floor, so she has no House floor vote. So when the House of Representatives just took this up and voted to overturn the revised criminal code act, she could not even vote. And you already know that they do not have two senators in Washington, D.C., again, because there is no statehood. So Joe Biden siding with the Republicans in the House and siding with Republicans and more moderates in the Senate, both majority white, is starting to feel a little crime billish. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, are Democrats really surprised that Joe Biden sided with a tough on crime bill? Joe Biden has always been a tough on crime politician. Always.
Well, here's the thing. He has traditionally been a tough on crime politician, but we also know that there were campaign promises made that they would reverse the harms created by the 1994 crime bill. This is a 180 on that campaign promise.
Should we call those campaign lies? We should call those campaign lies.
I'm calling them campaign promises because I believe that the power still lies with the people. And if people want to, they can call the White House right now and say, don't do it, Joe. It ain't worth it at 202-456-1111. I know that's a little beyond the scope of front page news, but y'all know how I roll. Mm-hmm. And he still needs to be told he can say yay to RCCA.
He ain't listening the 107 years he's been alive. Why he gonna start listening now? Jesus. And you know, next year, I feel the GOP.
That's not true. You know that's not true. You know, what? I take personal issue with that because we pressured Joe Biden to pick a black woman vice president.
I'm talking about crime legislation.
Okay.
I'm talking about crime legislation. Now, and you know, next year the GOP and Democrats are both going to be pushing a tough on crime agenda. I think that's what they're going to try to win America over with.
I agree with that. That is exactly what's going to happen, especially if we do not tell folks where our power is, where we stand, and make sure they know that 83% of D.C. voters do not agree with this. Mm-hmm. You cannot just overturn the will of the people. Like, that ain't cool. That's not how you should use your position of power. Do it for student loan debt, but not to bring back mandatory minimums, tough sentences on carjacking. Like, some of these kids need to be coached and help to understand why they can't be engaged in certain behaviors.
Yeah, we need alternatives. We definitely need alternatives, but the crime has to stop. We got to figure out what we need to do with these kids to make sure that they don't do this again and they have other options.
But we're acting like those alternatives haven't been out there forever. Like, you know, the people like the Erica Fords of the world, mm-hmm. the Tamika Mallorys, they've been telling people what alternatives are. Not just telling people, you know, people like Erica Ford have been out in the street actually delivering that kind of action. They're doing what the government should be doing
that
on their own.
We need to fund more of that. Absolutely. So that these kids
That's
can
exactly
do it.
Exactly right.
And what's happening is these kids are committing crimes and they're getting out. There are no penalties and they're doing it again. And mm-hmm. the problem is if you put these kids in jail, you're just creating a bad cycle. But if you give them alternatives, you fund those alternatives, it gives them other things to do. Whether it is, you know, find out what these kids want to do. Whether if they want to get into real estate or they want to get into whatever it may be.
Hey, man, proper mental health care. Most of these kids just need a hug. You know what I'm saying? Most of these kids just need some love. You know what I mean? And it's going to be interesting next year because, like I said, the GOP and Democrats are both going to be pushing a tough on crime agenda. And we know nobody has a better history of that than President Biden. So mm-hmm. it's going to be very awkward when he on the campaign trail next year, you know, telling people about his history of locking our black and brown asses up.
Well,
that's going to be tough to stand by.
I agree, and he shouldn't stand by it. There are alternatives now. They didn't exist in 1994. So hopefully we can move forward in a positive direction.
Damn. All right. Well, thank you, Miss Ryan.
Thank you, Angela Ryan. Have a great weekend. And tell them where to follow you, Angela Ryan, if they want to bother you on social media this weekend.
I don't want nobody bothering me on social media. But if you want to follow me, it's at @Angela_Rye on Twitter and TikTok for as long as we have TikTok, and at Angela Rye on Instagram. Thank you, guys.
I love you, Rye daughter.
Thank
love
you.
Love y'all.
Now, today is Colon Cancer Awareness Day, and we have Dr. Liz and Dr. Cynthia Quayno going to be answering all your questions when it comes to colon cancer and colon cancer awareness. All right, so don't move. We'll talk to them next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody.
everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club, and we got some special guests joining us this morning.
Very important guests.
We have Dr. Cynthia and Dr. Liz joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I love the blue. That's Hampton University blue, HU blue. I like that.
Well, it's colon cancer awareness day, so that's why I'm wearing this blue.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we're here to talk about today, man. Colon cancer. First off, tell them your stories.
So my name is Dr. Lisette Caesar. I actually go by... I go by Dr. Liz.
Mm-hmm.
I was diagnosed in 2019, August 5th. May 30th is when I first had symptoms. Went to urgent care. He said, we need to call an ambulance for you. I said, no. We just need a little penicillin or a little antibiotics and be good, right? Mm-hmm. Go to the hospital. And then I had surgery July 23rd. They opened me up, and that's when they saw it was cancer.
Mm.
So I never had a colonoscopy in all that time that I was sick.
So you haven't had a colonoscopy before that?
No, I've had several.
No, I mean before that, you haven't at all.
No, because at that time... The recommended age was 50. It's 45 now, but it was 50 at that time. So, no, it was never recommended to me. So, you know how...
I hate that, by the way.
I hate the fact that it's 45. It actually should be younger because more people are getting at a younger ages.
Well, you think the age should be 40?
No, I actually think 35.
I think 35, okay. Too. Because, my, you know, and it's so stupid. So, you know, my wife went to go get a colonoscopy. And they told her that she couldn't get it yet because she wasn't at the age as of yet. And the only way that you can get it is if there was, like, anal bleeding or...
Family history.
All these different things. That's the only way that they would do it. And I just think that's bad. I think if somebody wants to go because they have a feeling, right, they should be able to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cindy can talk about that,
So I was going to say, actually, with any type of lower GI complaint, you should be able to get a colonoscopy. So not just blood per rectum, but also any change in your bowel habits, like new onset constipation, new diarrhea, bloating. So any type of abdominal pain should warrant an investigation no matter what your age is.
Now, Charlamagne and I discussed our colonoscopies, but the reason we did it was because we know so many brothers are scared to go to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. They consider it, you know, it's a gay act. I don't want a doctor in my ass. But, you know, Charlamagne and I always tell people you want to live for your family. You know, I got six kids. He has four. So can you explain the procedure for people that don't know? I did the pills. Did you do the juice? I mean, the drink or the pills?
I did the pills. Okay. The prep is the hardest part. But
yeah.
Right, exactly.
So not the prep that she gives. That's how I met her, because she is one of the doctors that actually did one of my colonoscopies during this four-year cancer journey that I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
And so her prep was one of the easier preps. I've done some difficult preps, and hers was one of the easiest preps I've done.
Your mom was 24 pills.
Do tell, Dr.
So there's quite a few preps, but yes, the preparation is the worst part of the whole process. So usually the day before your procedure for 24 hours, you do a clear liquid diet fasting. So that's no solid food, tea, coffee without milk, Gatorade, ginger ale, chicken broth, water, Jell-O. And then you'll have a very detailed schedule. So you'll likely take half of it the day before and the other half about 6 hours before your procedure. And you're expected to have probably the worst diarrhea that you've ever had.
Yeah,
that's the whole goal of preparation. Yeah, you
poop water. Stomach be flat in the morning.
Right, you poop water.
You lose about 2-3 pounds.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is to make your poop look almost like urine, right? Mm-hmm. Clear and yellow. So you're clean as possible, and that's so when the doctor goes inside, they can see everything. We don't want to miss anything. If it's not so clean, you have to do the whole thing all over again. So your best bet is to try as hard as you can the first time.
One thing we didn't share is after I got checked, the doctor removed four polyps, and two of those polyps had
the potential to turn into
cancerous cells. Right. And he was saying that if he didn't remove those polyps, there's a great possibility that I would have cancer.
Sure.
So what does that mean, and how long does it take for a polyp to actually turned into cancer? Because then he was like, well, you can come 8 years. I'm a little scared. I'll say I'll see you in three. But that's just right. Me. How long does it take for polyps to actually turn into cancer? How does that work?
So there's different types of polyps, but the whole goal of a colonoscopy for screening purposes is to find benign polyps.
Mm-hmm.
And certain benign polyps, like the one you're speaking of, is called a tubular adenoma.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sequence of progression that a tubular adenoma can eventually progress to become a colon cancer. And that usually, we think, takes about 10 to 15 years. And so that's why the colon cancer screening surveillance is timed at 10 years mostly. So
what happened if it goes faster? Because when he said 8 years, I'm like, doc, I'm like, I need to see you in three. I would have went every year. Not because I enjoy it, so shut up, but I would go every year because I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Sure. I understand that. So, you know, the timing is based on statistical data and also research, but I understand your concern, and there's no way to specifically say if you had a genetic proclivity, maybe it might go faster. It's difficult to tell, but the guidelines and the recommendations are made based on general data. So,
is there any specific way to like prevent colon cancer? Is it diet? Is it like, what is it?
So what we found is that diets that are high in fiber, mm-hmm. fruits and vegetables are helpful. Diets that are low in red meat, mm-hmm. sausage, bacon, that type of thing are also helpful. Vitamin D levels are also have been shown to be important to take vitamin D supplementation if you have a low vitamin D level. Sedentary lifestyles, no exercise, being overweight or obese is also a risk factor. Mm-hmm. Tobacco use, certainly a very strong risk factor for colon cancer and a lot of other cancers as well, and alcohol use as well. So anything more than moderate use, 1 to 2 drinks per day, anything more than that is also considered a risk factor.
What about those of us, because I didn't have any polyps, no redness, nothing. So when should I go back?
According to the guidelines, between 7 to 10 years, but 10 years okay. for a normal colonoscopy, yes.
Now, what about women? A lot of women don't go for colonoscopies. And why is that?
Right. So we were just talking to
They'll go for a mammogram, but they won't go for a colonoscopy.
Right, right,
That's
right.
That's why I'm here. One is because I want to make sure that all African Americans are aware of this disease because it's on the rise in the African American community. That is showing that right now it's the second deadliest cancer, but in 2035 is showing that it probably be the most deadliest cancer, especially among African Americans. I know that a lot of women are not getting it, but we are getting mammogram. And so the same way that when you are, they say to, you know, make your mammogram appointment on your birthday, that day you should make all those kind of screening appointments. And I actually, mm-hmm. what I did for my sorority, I'm an AKA, so it was Dr. Cynthia. Mm-hmm. We're having a Pink Goes Blue Day March 18th for my chapter in Brooklyn, okay. Psi Lambda Omega. So I had these booklets made. And so here are all the different screenings women should have. And at what age should you have it? And what time of year you should have it? So I have this for your wives, just so that we can remind ourselves it's important in terms of health and wellness to take care of our bodies and to see the doctor on a regular basis. I saw the doctor on a regular basis, but again, I was not of age to get a colonoscopy. I didn't have symptoms until literally that week. So sometimes with colon cancer, you have no symptoms and you could be walking around stage 4. At the time, I was stage 2. Mm. The cancer came back 3 times.
Wow.
So right now, I'm a stage 4 colon cancer survivor. So I was just told 2 months ago that I'm in remission, thank God. But it took 4 years for me to get here. You know, and it wasn't an easy process, and I have a lot of side effects. And so that's why I tell my story, because I don't want anyone to go through what I'm going through post-cancer, what I went through during cancer, working, not working. I had to take a year off the first time I was diagnosed from being a New York City public school principal, came back during the pandemic. My kids were afraid to hug me. And that's how some of my books came about. And I'm going to talk about my books in terms of
Little Lizzie.
And the second time it came back, I was adamant I didn't want to go back on infusions. If you know anyone who's going through a cancer treatment, you're sitting there for 5 hours getting infusions. It's hard. It's a hard time. It's a hard life. You know, chemo breaks down the good and the bad cells. And you're sitting there with absolutely nothing to do. And you're getting sicker as you're taking this medicine. So I've had colon resection surgery twice. Mm-hmm. I've had liver resection surgery twice. Mm. I've had numerous now colonoscopies, and I was just telling Cynthia, I had a colonoscopy 3 weeks ago where I stopped breathing.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Because of the anesthesia?
Yeah.
What?
And then on the 18th, I had my medical port taken out because it caused me to get a blood clot.
Wow.
The blood clot now, I've been on medicine for 4 months for it, and now it's causing me to be severely anemic. So colon cancer has caused all these additional issues in the last 4 years. So if people just go and get a simple test, and yeah, you have one night of uncomfortability, but you know what? You could be saving your life and save you a lot of time and energy. And so there's a lot of post-cancer things I'm still dealing with.
All right, we got more with Dr. Liz and Dr. Cynthia Kwenu when we come back. It's Colon Cancer Awareness Day. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking with Dr. Liz and Dr. Cynthia Kwenu. It's Colon Cancer Awareness Day, and that's what we're talking about.
I was going to ask, what's the survival rate of colon cancer?
So that depends on this stage. So what we're hoping to find during a screening colonoscopy is just a polyp to remove our early stage colon cancers. Either stage 0 or stage 1, the survival for 5 years is over 90%.
That's right.
Of course, as you go further, stage 3 and 4, it's lower.
Why don't they do couples colonoscopy?
I think that's a great idea. Actually, Gail, Oprah's best friend and her partner, they posted their couples colonoscopy. So I think that should
go with Charlamagne, like us, like, because I thought that would be the bromance, like we go together, we talk about it on air.
But I'm talking.
I tried. I think that'd be cool. Like you make it cool.
Yeah.
When you heard us talk about it on the radio, did you think it was cool, or did you was like these guys?
You don't even remember anything from your colonoscopy. Neither do I.
Nope.
So you wouldn't even have the fantasy in your head, sir.
There's no fantasy, but we could have went together because I was kind of nervous.
Could you act professional in front one of the doctors.
No, I'm
for
serious.
Once.
I was fine.
You're the medical doctor. You know, Cynthia's the only medical doctor in here.
I still want an acupuncture. I have an EDD.
There's a difference.
Because I was fine.
As long as you get it done, if you want to do it next week, Shalom, it's okay.
We could have did it together.
I mean, it could be a support system.
Yeah, support system.
I believe you're having fun. I woke up when Cynthia was doing mine, and I was joking around.
You woke up?
I did. And I was looking at the screen and talking to her. I was like, I
woke up.
That's wild.
What kind of happened?
If I had anesthesia to give you,
this was top tier stuff. Sometimes that happens.
So you woke up in the middle and was like, hey,
I'm just gonna scream for the policy myself. I'm like, I don't see anything, you know, like, I think I'm good. Like, yeah,
if I woke up I would have fainted. If I woke up and it was in my butt and I'm looking at the, I would have fainted.
DJ Envy, at this point, you know, I've gone through so much. You just gotta make fun of it, because it's just ridiculous the way the things I've gone through in this last 4 years. So I try to have as much fun as possible, because I just don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring.
Do you think your treatment would have been shorter had the doctors caught the cancer from the beginning? And do you ever get upset? Because a lot of the things you have to go through is because of the fact they misdiagnosed you.
So when I learned I was misdiagnosed, of course I sought legal representation. I was ready. It's a different institution, so it wasn't Maimonides and it wasn't Sloan Kettering where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. Maimonides and Sloan Kettering have been amazing. So I'm not going to say the name of the institution, because, you know, I'm here representing the Colon Cancer Alliance. They told me something like that.
Salute
Stop
the Colon
saying
Cancer
that
Alliance.
Hospital that, you know, misdiagnosed you. Okay.
So, it wasn't me either.
It was before I met Cynthia. Because it was only a few months, all of the lawyers said that I didn't have a case. Mm. But I was really sad and upset about that, because I'm thinking, had I been told early on, that could have saved a few months out of this whole journey. Who knows where I would have been. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, I'm just happy to be here and happy to be here to advocate early screening. And I'm hoping that eventually that the health departments and this government will realize that it needs to be lowered. And it has to be, you know, age 35.
I agree. Question. Why do they don't allow cameras?
You don't have to answer this.
That was a question.
I don't even know if she can answer this.
So, Charlotte, I noticed you're not wearing blue today for Colon Cancer Awareness Day.
Because, hold on, when is it? It's
today.
Today.
It's today. It's Friday.
Damn.
Duh. Yes.
I'm going to change. Give me something blue to wear.
I brought gifts.
Okay.
Oh, thank you so much. So we appreciate you guys coming. Thank you so much.
Hold on, we got to talk Little Lizzie books too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you why you got these gifts, because of Little Lizzie books. So all three of my books were written because of my colon cancer journey, and they're all set in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And my girlfriend has a store called My BK Life, and I was like, listen, I don't know if they're going to remember blue stuff, so give me some blue hats for My BK Life.
There you go.
So that they can wear some blue stuff. But I do have three books. When I was first getting chemo, I wrote Little Lizzie Learns to Read.
Mm-hmm.
I took a year off during that time from being a principal. So this first book is my love letter to my students in Mosaic, and it's about my reading challenges and overcoming those challenges with perseverance and grit and the love of family. And that literally was written while I was getting chemo back in 2019.
Wow.
And so the second book, when I said to you, I went back to work during a pandemic and the kids didn't want to hug me. The kids didn't have any understanding what cancer meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quickly wrote Little Lizzie and the Big Blue Parade to give them an understanding about cancer in terms of a children's book. I first did a research on cancer books for children, and I bought everything I could find on Amazon. But most of the books were of Caucasian children or of teddy bears. I'm not a fan of teddy bears getting sick, you know, and showing, you know, those kind of things in terms of being sick. And I wanted a character to look like me. So I said, okay, so now Little Lizzie Part 2 is going to come out. And that's how Little Lizzie and the Big Blue Parade came out. And that was pretty much right after the first one, because they both came out the same year. And this book, my third book, came out in October during Anti-Bullying Month. I was bullied in high school. I was told I was fat and overweight. And my cousin Lori and I went to school from pre-K through all through high school. And she was very skinny. So we were called hamburger and french fry. And so I wrote Little Lizzie, her cousin Lori, and the not-so-bucket-filling friends. Because bullying is a huge situation in schools today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would talk to my students about the fact that I was bullied, they were like, no, you're not. No, you were, because you're a principal. I'm not sure why kids, you know.
Like, you just came out the room as a principal, right?
Yeah. But, you know, elementary kids, right? So the 5, 6, 7, 8, they don't have that understanding. Like, you went through things too, you know? I didn't just wake up one day and become principal. So there was a lot going on in those years before becoming an educator. So I wanted them to know a little bit about this particular journey. So all three of my books are based on real life events and are based on real life obstacles. And how did I overcome those obstacles?
Well, thank you, ladies, for joining us as well. And how can people get more information for this?
Yeah,
Instagram,
more information on colon
online,
cancer
website,
treatment,
the treatments and all
help
that.
Lines.
Mm-hmm. So I do have lots of information for you guys.
I feel like we need to make this a regular thing. Like, it can't be just like on Colon Cancer Awareness Month or Colon Cancer Awareness Day. Like,
sure.
I feel
there's
like we need to have these conversations
issues
a lot more often.
Oh, yeah. So going to the Colon Cancer Alliance website, there's a quiz on whether or not you should be screened. There's definitely information. You can go to quiz.screen.org, which will lead you to the Colon Cancer Alliance page. And there's also pamphlets on the website. And of course, on my social media platforms, I talk about colon cancer all the time. I am on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Usually my handle is LizBC1908.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely you can find information there. And information about my book is on littlelizzie.org.
Gotcha.
What's the most important thing you want people to take away from this conversation?
To get some type of screening done.
Okay.
Age 45, if you have no family history, if you have symptoms, it doesn't matter what age it is. Discuss your family history with your loved ones, because a lot of us don't know. We don't like to talk about the C word, right? So if your first degree relative, your mother, father, sister, brother has a history of colon cancer, that drastically changes the age at which you should have your first screening. It would be 40 or it would be 10 years earlier than the youngest affected person in your family. That's a big deal. I would encourage everyone to get screened.
Word. And before we leave, can I just ask that your listening audience reach out to Governor Kathy Hochul and ask her to make March officially Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. It is not in New York City. It is in New Jersey and other states, yes. And so we need to make it official. Making it official means you bring awareness to the entire state.
That's right.
So I've written to Kathy Hochul several times. I called her office yesterday. Her assistant was not so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to get colon cancer.
I asked her, she's a schedule. I said, well, can I make an appointment with her? Because I've emailed her on her website. I've tweeted at her. Like, I literally tweet at the governor every single day about 5 times a day.
Wow.
I've done TikToks to the governor. Like, there is no response. And they said that they do have the proclamation request in the system.
Wow.
So what are you doing with the request? So I said, well, can I get on her schedule? My goal now is just to go to Albany probably next Tuesday, just kind of wait out there. I'm praying I don't get arrested because I don't have any bail money.
She's been up here before. Governor Hochul, if you're listening and somebody from your office is listening, that's whack. Okay, we need to make, what is it, colon cancer awareness?
We need to make an official that March is Colon Cancer Awareness Month in the state of New York.
Word. All right, well, Dr. Liz, Dr. Cynthia, thank you so much. It's the Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Oh, good morning.
Yo, man. Your hips ain't stiff because you making them like that. Your hips are stiff because they just stiff.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
Morning,
what's
everybody.
Going on here?
We are the Breakfast Club. It's a Friday!
It's definitely Friday, man. And you know what? Today is a good day for you to get your tickets for the first ever Black Effect Podcast Festival happening April 22nd in Atlanta, hosted by myself and my good sister, Jess Hilarious, man. It's a day of music and live podcasts, incredible food. We got the Black Effect Marketplace featuring local businesses. We got some of your favorite podcasts like the 85 South Show, Horrible Decisions, Carefully Reckless, Big Facts, Checking In with Michelle Williams, Reasonably Shady, and a whole lot more.
That's
on
right.
Saturday, April 22nd in Atlanta. Tickets are on sale right now, and you can go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival to learn more. But go get your tickets for the first ever Black Effect Podcast Festival happening April 22nd in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
ATL, shorty.
All right. Now, shout out to my kids. They're in the car right now. I just spoke to them. So, good morning, guys. Have a great day at school.
Which ones? The youngins or the oldest?
The youngins. So, and shout out to everybody, all the kids in the school, right? All the kids in the car right now heading to school. You guys have a great day.
Yes.
It's Friday, so enjoy it.
I don't know why y'all parents be letting... Well, today is the day for y'all to listen, but I don't know why y'all parents be letting y'all listen. Okay, this is adult content. All right? You know?
Say that.
It is adult content.
We still want the parents to listen.
Of course we do. You know what I mean? But put the kids' headphones on or something sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Because today is Friday, and you know what that means.
It's freaky. No, it's not freaky Friday.
No, today isn't Freaky Friday,
no,
actually.
It's not Freaky Friday.
Some people think, you know, going to get a colon cancer screening is freaky. Why? I don't know. You know what I mean? No, we had the screening and the procedure.
We did.
Yes. We had the screening and procedure. Salute to Dr. Cynthia and Dr. Liz for pulling up to talk to us about colon cancer awareness month. And go get checked, man.
Yes.
I don't want to hear anything about it. There should be no stigma around staying alive. That's really the moral of the story. There should be no stigma around staying alive.
No, it's funny. Angela Rye, who did Front Page News earlier, was talking about she didn't want to go because she didn't want
to. She don't like nothing in her butt.
Nothing in her butt. But you just automatically assume that the men would feel that way and the woman wouldn't. But I guess everybody feels that way.
People don't necessarily care for butt play. You know, no disrespect to all our listeners out there who love butt play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But everybody ain't in the butt play. See, that's why you shouldn't let your kids listen. But. We're mixing two conversations here.
That is correct.
The main thing we're trying to say is everybody go get checked for colon cancer.
I'm going to put my thumb in you.
See, you ain't had to say that.
That I'm just
90% of all colon cancer is preventable if you get it early.
Yes, if you get the procedure early.
What did I say?
If you get it early.
If you catch it early.
If you get the procedure early, yes, you can catch it early, and it's preventable and treatable. All right, well, we got rumors on the way. We got to talk about Chris Brown. He's overseas. He's on tour. He's killing it out there, too. Well, he tossed a girl's cell phone. We'll tell you why. We'll do it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's start off with Chris Brown.
Rumor has it.
Call out a name, or you gossiping, or you chatty patty.
I'm gossiping.
This is The Rumor Report.
I mean, I guess we on The Breakfast Club. This is where the tea spills, right?
Yes. On The Breakfast Club.
All right, now, Chris Brown has been trending recently. That's because he was performing out in Berlin. He invited a young lady up for a lap dance, and she was sitting on her chair, and Chris was serenading her and dancing for her. But she was more concerned with being on her phone. She wanted to tape the whole thing. She wanted to, you know, actually record it. And Chris was a little upset about that. He's sitting there, he's dancing, you know, he's giving them sexy vibes. And she was more on her phone. So he grabbed the phone and chucked it in the crowd.
Why you got so excited calling Chris Brown sexy just now, bro?
I said he was giving sexy vibes. I didn't say he was sexy.
I'm shocked that Chris isn't used to that, though. Because, I mean, that's Chris' whole era, right?
Like,
Chris,
no.
How old Chris? Chris a young boy.
Yeah, but still. But if he brings somebody on stage and he's dancing, you want to be in the moment. You don't want to be on your phone.
That is not true. You have to know that if you're bringing somebody on stage in 2023, they're pulling out their phone.
The whole crowd is
on stage
taping.
With Chris Brown. I don't care. I need to get this for myself.
No, the whole
I need
crowd
my own
is
footage.
Enjoy the moment.
There is no such thing as enjoying the moment for these kids. I agree with you.
No.
But for these kids, this is their moment.
No.
okay? No. Think about when you go to these contests and these shows, everybody watching things through their phone. I'm just shocked that he was surprised she pulled her phone out and recorded.
Well, he chucked her phone into the crowd, and people were upset about that. Said he could have just put the phone down. He could have took the phone, but she did get her phone back. But I get him. I feel him. I bring you on stage. I'm dancing for you.
No.
I'm doing this sexy little...
No.
Light skin stomach twirl.
I don't feel that at all. I feel him saying, yo, man, won't you enjoy the moment? But you have to know in 2023, she whipping that phone out to get a close up of them abs, bro.
Well, the young lady got her phone back, so people were talking about that. Now,
that was an overreaction by Chris, by the way. Now, maybe he just got excited. Maybe he got caught up in the moment.
Maybe. But she got her phone back. Now, Young Miami, of course, of the City Girls. She was on Mary J. Blige's, I guess it's her talk show. It's called The Wind Down.
What do you mean you guess it's her talk show?
I don't know if they call it a talk show. I don't know.
I didn't know it started yet. It started,
yeah. Mm-hmm. She was on the debut episode of The Wind Down, and she talked about good sex is when you take somebody's soul.
What is good sex?
Soulful sex. It's like me as head. It's heart. It's a connection. I gotta have a connection.
That sound like Young Miami.
Good sex is like when you take somebody's soul. Like when you feel like I love you, I can feel you. Mm-hmm. Like it's just, I agree.
Because I think the orgasm is deeper. It comes from way deep down inside somewhere.
First of all, I can't do it if there's no connection. Like
I tried it.
Anybody I've had sex with, we have a friendship, a connection.
I feel like that's what it's like, not a connection. Because really? I gotta go crazy.
What you confused about?
I feel like I'm hearing two different people.
It was Mary J. Blige, Taraji P. Henson, and
Young Miami. You ain't saying nothing about no Taraji.
All right, well, let's try this again.
I'm like, what the hell?
Mary J. Blige was kicking it with Taraji P. Henson and Young Miami. And Young Miami says good sex is when you take somebody's soul.
Okay.
Let's try it again.
What is good sex?
Soulful sex. It's like me as head. It's heart. It's a connection. I gotta have a connection.
Me too. I think good sex is like when you take somebody's soul. Like when you feel like I love you, I can feel you. Mm-hmm. Like it's just,
I agree. Because I think the orgasm is deeper. It comes from way deep down inside somewhere.
First of all, I can't do it if there's no connection. Like
I tried it.
Anybody I've had sex with, we have a friendship, a connection.
I feel like that's what it's like, not a connection. Because really? It's like, I ain't got to go crazy. I could just like get it on time. It's good. And we just
I can't.
Go our separate way.
Well, baby steps, my brothers, you know. Some of y'all can't even make them orgasm, so don't even worry about snatching no souls, all right? Don't worry about the soul. Figure out the clitoris first, okay? Don't go in the bedroom worrying about the soul, you know what I mean? Focus on that thing first. I'm just saying. Did you have to dump that, Red?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't have to dump that.
Did he have to dump that? You dumped it just in case?
He did it just in case. Just in case. All I said is you can't even make them first.
There you go.
Okay, but you want to snatch souls. No, man. Baby steps, my brothers. All right? Focus on the big old. Okay, focus on that big old, that orgasm, right? Focus on that clitoris. Don't worry about the soul. You'll get to the soul.
All right.
The soul will come.
I think they were saying...
The soul will come if you make her name.
I think they were saying the women that take the soul, you know, like, soul.
Oh, it's easy to take our soul. Our soul ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. It's easy to take a man's soul. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. I can go to the bathroom and take mine right now by myself.
What is wrong with
I'm
you?
I'm just saying.
It's freaking Friday.
I'm just saying,
What's
bro.
Wrong with you? All right.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, that is your room report. Who are you giving that donkey to?
Man, 4 after the hour, we need Paul Sherrill to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right. Who is that?
Oh, he's a state representative from Tennessee.
All right. Yes. We'll get to that next. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
The Voice returns with a season so amazing it gets a four-chair turn. 1, Blake Shelton's final season. 2, the return of Kelly Clarkson. 3, and 4, new coaches, Chance the Rapper and Niall Horan. The Voice returns Monday and Tuesday on NBC.
This is a miracle.
There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community.
Yes, you are a donkey.
To the latest on that police killing of a black man.
Now to new developments in the deadly spa shooting rampage.
And yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
And so we are in a state of emergency.
Okay, white supremacist violence is and always has been the number one threat to our society.
But I'm also very proud that my wife is white.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
All right, Charlene, please tell me, why was I your donkey of the day?
Hold on, let me sip this damn medicine. Let me tell you something, boy. The medicine balls from Starbucks be slapping. You hear me? Donkey of the Day for Friday, March 3rd, goes to State Representative Paul Sherrill. Now, Paul was in a House Criminal Justice Committee meeting Tuesday discussing an amendment to a bill that would allow death row inmates to be executed with a firing squad. Yes. A method that is currently not allowed in Tennessee. Now, needless to say, Paul Sherrill is with it. All right. He wants to death by firing squad, even though it's clearly a method of execution that's cruel and unusual. All right. Even in my home state of South Carolina, a Richland County court ruled back in December that both electrocution and the firing squad violate the South Carolina Constitution because the state constitution bars methods of execution that are cruel, unusual, or corporal. And the court found both methods are cruel, unusual, and corporal. But this is what Paul wants in Tennessee, okay? And this isn't all he wants. See, Paul is old school, all right? He was born in 1959, 5 years before the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was implemented. The reason I'm bringing that up is because what do you think he was hearing as a young child in Tennessee from the older people around him during that time? Would you like to guess? What do you think his father, his grandfather, what do you think they was instilling in young Paul's head? Do you think they was telling him about the good old days when lynching was a public spectacle, a celebration of white supremacy? It sure sounds like it, okay? Because Paul not only wants to see death by firing squad implemented, he added something else to the menu. Let's go to News Channel 5 Nashville for the report, please.
All right, it's February 28th. Welcome to the Criminal Justice Full Committee.
It was a typical meeting on Capitol Hill that quickly turned to a very atypical topic surrounding death row inmates and how they're executed.
The opportunity to add a firing squad as a method of execution.
The suggestion of a firing squad in the wake of several failures from the State Department of Correction to properly follow protocol when executing prisoners using lethal injection, leading to questions not usually heard on Capitol Hill.
Will a person be shot in the head or the heart, or where will a person be shot?
But then came the comment prompting an apology tonight. It came from Republican Representative Paul Sherrill from Sparta.
Thank you, Representative Powers, for bringing this. I think it's a very good idea. Could I put an amendment on that? It would include hanging by a tree also.
Jesus. Could I put an amendment on that? It would include hanging by a tree also. Damn. Southern trees bearing strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the polar trees. Hanging! That good old American pastime. As I said before, lynching was a celebration. Okay, and from 1882 to 1968, 4,743 lynchings occurred in the U.S. According to records maintained by NAACP. And black people were the primary victims of lynching. Okay, 72%. 72%, I repeat, 72% of the people lynched were black, but they weren't the only victims of lynching. Okay, some white people were lynched for helping black people or for being anti-lynching. And for the record, there were 236 lynchings in Tennessee between 1877 and 1950, according to the Equal Justice Initiative. Those are not so fun facts. Well, fun probably for people in Paul Sherrill's family. I'm sure he was told about the good old days, the good times they had at lynchings, and he would love to bring black tradition. He would love to bring back tradition. Okay, well, tradition for you is trauma for us, Paul. Now, Paul did apologize. Let's go back to News Channel 5 Nashville for the report, please.
Tonight, Sherrill apologized in a statement released from the House Republican Caucus, saying, "I regret that I used very poor judgment in voicing my support of a colleague's bill. And my exaggerated comments were intended to convey my belief that for the cruelest and most heinous crimes, a just society requires the death penalty in kind." He goes on to say, "My intention was to express my support of families who often wait decades for justice. I sincerely apologize to anyone who may have been hurt or offended."
Tonight, the Tennessee State Conference of the NAACP responded, saying in part, "Representative Sherrill's comment is beyond disgusting. He is celebrating a particular form of execution used against African Americans in Tennessee and across the nation, including innocent and wrongfully convicted persons. In many parts of the South, lynchings took place in nearly every county as it exemplified racialized and anti-black violence."
He just apologized because he said it out loud. Okay? Mm-hmm. Remember about 6 years ago, maybe a little longer than that. Yeah, probably a little longer. When President Obama was in office and, you know, we thought we was living in a post-racial America and there was these conversations about old bigots dying. All right? Some people would ask the question. Some people would make a statement. But basically the sentiment was racism will end when old bigots die. I don't think anyone ever thought racism would disappear completely, but that it would maybe lessen with each generation. You know, some people, to the chagrin of Dr. Umar, thought the more interracial relationships that popped up and the more biracial children there are, the more equality we would see. I never agreed with that because you can be biracial, but if you present as black, you are indeed still nigga. And some people thought the more people of color we see in positions of power, it will help to change the way people see race. Well, we had a black president, a black and Asian vice president. We got people of color on the Supreme Court, all throughout Congress. All I'm saying is there's people of color in positions of power everywhere now, but I don't feel racism lessening, okay, at all. Especially when you have people like Paul Sherrill in positions of power in their respective states. Like, you know, hearing Paul asking to add hanging to that amendment doesn't surprise me in the least bit. Nope, doesn't surprise me at all. Simply because in the words of Thanos, as long as there are those that remember what was, there will always be those that are unable to accept what can be. Tradition for you is trauma for us. Please let Chelsea Handler give Paul Sherrill the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw! That is way too much Dan Mayonnaise.
I ain't hear the hee-haw now. Let me hear that hee-haw.
Hee-haw! There hee-haw! That is way too much Dan Mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, Hold on now. Kathy Griffin want to say something.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
What else you got?
You know, Chris Rock performing live in Baltimore tomorrow for the first ever Netflix special stand-up that's going to be live. And you going to hear that tomorrow night. Okay? I've seen that set a couple times. Matter of fact, play it again one more time, Chris Rock. That's right. What about my girl? My girl working this morning? Okay.
Jesus.
Okay. Just making sure.
All right.
Everybody's up.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, Don Toliver will be joining us.
Yes, Don Toliver will be here, man. Don Toliver is a young artist from Houston, man. Mm-hmm. He just had a show here in New York. He just put out a project. And you know who else is going to be joining us? Our good sister, Nyla Simone, because today is Friday. You know, she does Pass the Aux on Friday. So she was in here with me when Don Toliver was here. So we had a nice conversation with Don Toliver.
And Don Toliver is Travis Scott's artist.
He is?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was Travis Scott's artist.
Yeah, he's Travis Scott's artist, right?
Oh, I knew that was cool.
Nah, I think he's Travis Scott's artist. All right.
We didn't talk about that during the conversation.
All right. Well, we'll talk to him next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. And we got a special guest in here this morning, man. I also got Nyla Simone in here, you know, holding it down with me. But Don Toliver is here. What's up, my brother?
What's up, Jose? How you feeling?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored, man. You got the new album, Lovesick. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed that you don't have a leather coat on right now, sir.
Well, I see what you're saying. I had to, this is like some different type of like, it just feels good. I'm sorry. I couldn't do the leather. Leather is restricting. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
I wanted to be comfortable.
Well, talk to us about the new album, man. Lovesick. Why that title?
Well, Lovesick is kind of just the threshold to a story that I created. I wanted to make an album, and I wanted to make a movie and a soundtrack for the album. Lovesick is basically just a term for you going through whatever you're going through with your significant other, whether it's bad, good, ugly, sad, whatever. Everybody within the movie, short film that I created for Lovesick is lovesick, whether it's the cook, the diner, the cop, me, my girlfriend. So it's something that you have to pay attention to in a movie to really understand, but that's exactly what definition is.
You know, that's a narrative you don't really hear from artists nowadays, because artists, you know, historically want to be players and pimps and run through a bunch of women, you know what I mean? To actually have somebody looking for love and to say they lovesick, that's a little different.
It's definitely just like your own choice is really what it is. It's like, do you choose to, you know, stay faithful and lock in with your significant other, or do you choose to deal with everything else in a world that has nothing to do with that? So that's basically, you know, the duality of lovesick.
On the first track of Lovesickness, you say love is the fall that you don't get up from.
Yeah.
Was this written prior to you falling, or are you still like in that process?
No, I made that statement at the end of the song just to let people know sometimes that love is heavier than what you think, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you fall in love with somebody and that same feeling sticks with you for years and you don't understand why. Mm. And that's what I meant by it.
You know, you're never supposed to fall in love, though.
Really?
Because when you fall, anytime you fall historically in life, you get hurt. You're supposed to grow.
Yeah.
In love with people.
That's why I said falling in love is the one fall you don't get up from.
Mm. You still down?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm still down for sure. Down for the count.
I feel like down makes it sound like bad. When you're actually in a good spot, it looks like.
I'm in a good spot, but I mean, it's just like, you know, we all, when you're in a relationship, it's, sometimes it's not like peaches and cream, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it gets, you know, y'all busy, y'all schedules conflict, y'all might be arguing about the littlest, the dumbest things, you know?
That's real.
It's like a lot of stuff that goes on that makes a relationship tougher than what it is sometimes.
I really like And Let Her Go when you're like, I think I'm really here for once. Is that what your relationship with Callie feels like? Like, is this the first time you feel present with your partner?
100%. More than I've ever been with somebody, for sure. I'm just way more invested into my relationship than I've probably been in any other relationship.
I love that. Good for you.
Yeah.
I love the flip that you guys did with Beanie Man and Maya. For me, was that like on purpose? Is that a sentimental record for you guys, or were you guys just in the studio and came up with that?
It was a record. I really love that sample a lot.
Big sample.
It's a crazy sample.
Big
Girls
sample.
Girls Them Sugar is a crazy sample. I really love that song a lot, and it's just like, you know, I kind of wanted something. I've been into just like really having fun dancing lately, so I wanted kind of like that dance hall feel, and I love Neptunes a lot. So it was kind of like the best of both worlds. And then Weezy did the sample on the beat. So it really, really, I just had to do it.
Is it hard mixing the business, I guess, with the pleasure?
No, me and my girls is beautiful, you know. We just kind of stay on the music side. The whole business thing, I'm just like, whatever she want, cool, blah, 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 let it go. I don't even like really deal into it too much.
I love that. Speaking of dancing, you talked about the dancing. What is that dance you do when your like hands is moving and your feet? Like, you have a name for that?
It's called Do the Fool.
Do the Fool?
Do the Fool. Do the Fool is crazy. That's something I created in Australia like last year, and Metro was dropping his album, and I had like 3 songs on the album. I was very excited to hear the album, and I don't know what got into me. I was outside just like chilling, listening to the album in my headphones. I told my bro to record me, and my feet just started moving, and then after that, I never stopped doing the dance again.
Yo, it looks like you're dancing like nobody's watching, but we're literally all watching.
Yeah,
so I'm like...
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
But when you hit it on stage, I'm like, man, this guy is having the time of his life.
100%. I love it.
Yeah, Travis Scott came out. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Did you rush the deluxe because you knew that this was happening, like the show, and you wanted Travis to come? Or
I really just wanted him on my album. I wanted Tizo on my album. And I just wanted to give the fans like a couple, you know, more songs. I feel like they were asking for a lot. The album was just amazing. I never had a chance to really just give fans immediately some, you know. It was like one of the funnest things for me to do. It was challenging because after I dropped my album, I was like, yo, I want to give my fans some more music. But it was like kind of challenging because I have so much music and I had to break it down into like 4 songs that I wanted to put on this album.
Because you did it within like a week span. Why not give us a tape? And then the project, like, why make it so lengthy?
I wanted an even 20. And like I said, I wanted Trav and Tizo on my album immediately. I didn't want to wait a week. I didn't want to wait a month. I wanted them on my album. You know, I wanted to listen through exactly how I plan to see it immediately, then wait. And I feel like the fans wanted the same thing.
I even was wondering, like, you know, with the 4 new songs that you added, how do you even decide what you want to put out originally? Because, you know, you don't just sit on Travis Scott features.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. That's what I'm saying. That was the challenge behind. I really just, well, first it was off the 4, it was something that the fans wanted, one song. And the other 3 songs were really just something that I feel like the album really needed. Travis, for sure, I wanted him on my album regardless. He's been on all my albums. And Tizo Touchdown is from Texas. I'm from Texas as well. And I always like to highlight, you know, any artist coming out of Texas doing whatever they possibly doing, you know. And I felt like it was the perfect opportunity to let him go up on the album as well.
Mm-hmm. How would you define yourself as an artist? Because I listen, I'm like... Well, is he R&B? Is he rap?
I would just say it's R&B soul, just a little twist of what I got going on. You know, I deal heavy into the R&B and the melodics of things a lot, but I definitely just like to get off some bars here and there too. I don't like to, I feel like if I can do it, why not do it?
A lot of people are still expecting you to drop Rolling Stone or the joint with Baby Keem.
Yeah.
Is that coming?
It's so crazy. It's just like, what joint with Baby Keem are you guys talking about? I haven't snippet any song with Baby Keem, but Rolling Stone, I know all about that for sure.
Is marriage something that you have in mind or like on your...
Yes.
Yeah?
I would love it.
Aww. Damn, you said that fast.
I love that.
When you know, though, brother.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't play with it. Like, when you know, I'm saying, when you know she the one, don't play with it, man.
Don't play with it. I'm here.
You know what your proposal may look like? Because that's very important. When you got money, you got to make sure that the proposal is something that they never, ever forget. Like, it's a story that you can tell to people in the future that's just fly.
I feel like whatever I do, it just has to be organic. I can't really do it. Too much. My girl, she just kind of wanted to be heartfelt.
Right.
Whatever it is, got to be organic. It don't matter if we in a park having a picnic, you know. It just kind of got to feel organic.
Did you see a lot of healthy relationships growing up?
Yeah, right. I did. My mom, my dad, they separated when I got a little older, but like they would have their ups and downs. She would be mad at him or whatever, but at the end of the day, they still kept the like, this is my mom, this is my dad, and then that never like kind of left the playing field, and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma and my grandfather, they still been together. They've been married for like 50-some years.
I love that.
You're going to make a lot of money, brother. The reason you're going to make a lot of money is because, you know, like when you have that partner, like that you devote all your time and all your energy to and you ain't out here doing all the extracurricular, watch what happens in your life. Yeah, you commit to that one situation. It gives you stability that other people don't have.
100%. I believe that.
All right, we got more with Don Toliver when we come back. Don Toliver, Charlamagne, Nyla, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Don Toliver here, our special guest. I was out, so Nala held it down for me. Nala.
On Go Down, you have this line that I have a bone to pick with you about. You say, 25, the life of certified lover, keep me cool, she keep me cool undercover. Backseat, I never use the rubber.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you promoting?
Mind your business.
That's my girl.
Now ask her, Don.
Right.
First of all, this is, I asked the question.
Ask her.
Mm-hmm.
Silly. You're silly. And then Company. Man, this is the third Company you've given us. Each Company is like a classic. Do you see yourself doing a Company just project?
Company 10.
Yeah?
I feel like, honestly, it's just one of those things where it's like, I want to have something that the fans can always relate to on my album. And right now, I don't see why I wouldn't want to come with a 4 or 5 or 6. Just depending on where I'm at in my life. Hopefully, I'm in a good place to continue to want the Company. If not, you know, I'm good.
How did you pick your features? I like the range of features. You go from Glorilla to Justin Bieber to WizKid to Charlie Wilson. Like, how do you decide who you want to collaborate with?
That's kind of like, it's kind of like a wide variety of like the industry, and it's kind of like all my favorites from like all those little pockets. I love Toro. I love James. I'm a fan of Glow. I'm a fan of Dirk. Future's inspired me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, you already know about that. Tizo Touchdown's a legend. Tisa Kariya is another Houston legend. All these pockets of artists, I really just respect them, respect their craft. Just happy to have them on my album, you know what I'm saying? And be able to, like, collaborate with those guys.
I always wonder how you and Travis, growing up for us, Houston always had a specific sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you knew what Houston sounded like, but you and Travis kind of, like, broke that mold. Was that intentional or...
I say in my heart it was intentional. Travis, when I seen Travis gave me the hope when I was doing like all my little underground stuff back home, because he was the unicorn in Houston that was like doing something abstract, and I felt like I was doing the same, but I didn't have, when I was really like, that's what really just put me on in the city and had people looking at me different, because I was doing something different. Yeah, we are known for the traditional, you know, Houston rap. But at the same time, there's a lot of great creatives out there that do a lot of different things, you know, and I was able to kind of cut through because it was different.
Mm-hmm.
And that would help me. And I think people in the city kind of just need to realize that, you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of different things. Don't let me take away, but staying different is always the goal.
All right.
And only after a week, they already knew all the words, like dancing. It was a great reaction. But my favorite record on there is absolutely, well, it kind of changed between Leave the Club to now the Brent Faiyaz joint. But what's your favorite record?
If I Had.
Why?
I Had with Charlie Wilson. It's just a legendary moment. I love Charlie. I think Charlie is amazing. And he's just like dope guy.
Justin Bieber, who wrote his verse, man?
Because
I know he ain't write about no damn double cups.
Yo, you know, me and Justin, we was just in the studio, dude. We was in LA in the studio. Dude was in there with a red rollerblades on the mic. We back and forth, like, we just like on our mic, and I'm just wondering, because he had a lot going on at the moment, and it was a certain couple things I really wanted him to touch bases on, especially like when, you know, he come back to the city, Houston, like, so, but it, Justin was really going crazy, though, I'm not gonna hold you, he was feeling the vibe, I had him just in his mode, so.
Did he record that before Future, or?
He could record that before Future.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, you got the Lovesick short film on Amazon Prime too.
Yes, sir.
Why did you know this needed a film, a visual to go with it like this?
Honestly, I was just tired of, one, I wanted to, like I said, I wanted to shoot a movie for my album.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I was just kind of tired of doing the traditional video type thing. I love music videos, but I wanted to give my fans like another visual aspect of how I felt the music should be, like, you know, played through.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetically, it's given like 70s, like what was the
late 70s. The whole inspiration came from Studio 54. Okay. And like disco culture. I kind of like started there and it turned into like everything else.
The cocaine was way purer back then, man.
Word up.
How you know?
I heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that old. You going on tour Future, right?
Uh-huh.
What, one big party tour?
One big party tour in March, starts March 9th.
So what you gonna do?
I'm gonna go crazy.
How you gonna keep in touch with family? You gonna bring somebody on the road with you? Or?
See, this tour is like weekends. It's like kind of spotty. It's not every day. So I'd definitely be able to bring my family out, pull up, but it's not nothing too crazy.
All right. Well, you know, listen, Nyla got a segment on this show called Pastor Aux, where she plays new music every Friday morning.
Yes.
So what y'all want to get into off the new Lovesick album?
Play Embarrassed.
Let's go with Embarrassed Red.
Why you feel that energy this morning? Why?
I haven't stopped listening to it since it dropped.
Okay.
I love that song. We performed it. It was just amazing.
Yeah, the Travis record, everybody's on it. Let's get into it.
And it's your segment, Nyla. If you want to play more than one Don Toliver record, you can.
I got to spread the love.
Okay.
I only got three tracks. I got to spread the love. But we got you in there. Let's get into it. Here's Embarrassed, Don Toliver, Travis Scott.
The Breakfast Club.
Where did y'all record that? Because I know you guys be all over the world recording together.
I recorded that, I feel like, in L.A. Mm. Yeah.
What was it like in that studio session? How'd y'all come up with it?
I was like, this is one of those moments where I just love Weezy's beat. Weezy did that beat. And I don't know, when I hear a Weezy beat, it just kind of puts me in a certain mode. That particular 808 and snares kind of puts me in a mode with those. And it just kind of happened. One of those things that just happened. Super organic. Just kind of came out.
So when that Don Toliver, Travis Scott, Best of Both Worlds album dropping, I know y'all got a collaboration project dropping.
I hope sooner than later.
But y'all,
I hope it's done.
No.
Oh.
Y'all got a lot of music together, I'm sure, though.
We got some tunes.
Yeah. Is that something in the works? Like, y'all have thought? Yeah. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's such a no-brainer. It's just like, you know, one day we're gonna press that button and get to work. But right now we just, you know, got records and whatever we just trying to get off our own right now, get it going, and then boom.
Who's pushing for it more, you, Travis, or Sycamore?
Probably me.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Don. Nyla, what else we got on Pastor Aux this week?
All right, next we got a joint off Key Glock's new project called Randy Orton that I've had in heavy rotation. Let's get into it.
Key Glock's so hard, man.
Yeah.
Key Glock make me not want to act my age. Key Glock make me want to throw the hoodie on. Key Glock is hard. When Key Glock come in the Breakfast Club, man, salute to Key Glock. Them Dumb and Dumber projects. Man. Him and Young Dolph were some of my favorite projects, man.
Absolutely.
Salute to Key Glock.
Yeah, for sure. Glad he's back at it. And then lastly, I have a new artist. She's the first artist signed to Diddy's Love Records.
Oh.
Her name's Jazzy. She's actually a songwriter. She's penned for like SZA, Mary J. Blige's new project. So now this is her coming out as her debut artist project. And this record is called Alone.
Man, you can't escape Jazzy. I mean, you hear Jazzy. I see her on Instagram all the time. I see Diddy talking about her all the time. I see Ivy Rivera talking about her all the time. Salute to Ivy. So you really can't escape her. Where's she from?
I think she's from Memphis.
Memphis don't miss.
Yeah.
Memphis really don't miss, man. We do not give Memphis the respect it deserves as a hip-hop R&B hub. At this point, it's a hip-hop R&B staple in our culture. When you think about all the great hip-hop and R&B that has come out of Memphis, man.
More hip-hop than R&B, though. I feel like Jazzy's the only R&B I know now.
Nah, K-Michelle, but I mean, it's older school artists.
Okay.
That I can't remember right now. Who from Memphis that's R&B? Eddie? Oh, let's look that up real quick.
I think Memphis, I automatically think Dolph, Gotti, Glorilla.
7 years old.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Because I think all them people too, but then I think 3-6 Mafia.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Hold on, man. Al Green.
All right.
And Peebles. Wilson Pickett. Rufus Thomas.
Okay, Rufus.
Aretha Franklin? Aretha Franklin ain't from no Memphis. Hold on now. Let me see.
Where are you getting this from? That's Wikipedia.
I pulled up Memphis R&B singer. I thought Aretha Franklin from Detroit.
I thought so too.
Hold on. Let me look up Aretha Franklin. Now y'all got me tripping. I got to make sure. I thought Aretha Franklin was Detroit all day. Hold on now. Damn, she was born in Memphis.
Wow.
Yeah, but Detroit claims it though. But either way, Memphis, salute to y'all, man. Y'all have done a lot for hip-hop and R&B culture, man. All right. Now we got the People's Choice Mix coming up next. DJ Envy's People's Choice Mix. I'm not going to lie to y'all and tell y'all to call in and request songs because, you know, Envy already has the mix done. But y'all can listen. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our Audible pick of the day is Reinvent Your Life. Mel Robbins is back to help you dream big and take more control over your life. Start listening when you sign up for a free 30-day trial at audible.com/breakfastclub.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Shout out to everybody that's heading out to Detroit tonight and tomorrow, New Orleans. You know, I'm on the Fall Back in Love comedy tour. That is with August Alsina, Trey Songz, Monica, Mario, Jacquees, Little Duval, and a host of comedians.
That's the R&B Legends of the Street tour.
That's pretty much what
it is. And it's a lot of fun, man. It's grown. It's sexy. It's a lot going on. So shout to all the comedians and artists on that tour, and I'll see you guys tonight.
That's right, man. And listen, I want to tell everybody, make sure you get your tickets for the first ever Black Effect Podcast Festival. It's happening April 22nd in Atlanta. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster, wherever tickets are sold. It's hosted by myself and my good sister, Jess Hilarious, and you have the opportunity to come see some of your favorite podcasts live, like the 85 South Show, Horrible Decisions, Big Facts, Checking In with Michelle Williams, Reasonably Shady with Giselle and Robin, and a whole lot more. Saturday, April 22nd in Atlanta, man. Tickets are moving. You hear me? So make sure you get yours. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival to learn more. It's going to be food. It's going to be music. We got the Black Effect Marketplace with a bunch of local businesses from Atlanta. We're going to have, you know, merchandise for all the different podcasts as well as the Black Effect. So Saturday, April 22nd in Atlanta, man. The first ever Black Effect Podcast Festival. Go get your tickets now.
All right, when we come back, we got the positive note. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club on this Friday. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes, I do have a positive note, and this positive note comes from the good sister, Nedra Glover-Tawab. You know, Nedra has a new book out called Drama Free, A Guide to Managing Unhealthy Family Relationships, and we had a great conversation, not only on the Breakfast Club this week, but at the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York. It was a sold-out event. People came out to see Nedra because they love Nedra. They love her first book, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, and they're going to love this new book, Drama Free. So I want to say a quote from Nedra because I love this quote. And Nedra Glover-Tawab says, "The ability to say no to yourself is a gift. If you can resist your urges, change your habits, and say yes to only what you deem truly meaningful, you'll be practicing healthy self-boundaries. It's your responsibility to care for yourself without excuses."
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.